Matthew 1 verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 15. Well, we want to begin our reading at verse 13. Now when they were departed, that is, the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for these precious portions of your word. We thank you for their instruction, and we thank you for the good examples that we can turn to in your word and find comfort and direction for our own lives. We ask your blessing today upon every father, especially those that are fathers indeed, who are indeed seeking to honor thee by obeying thy commandments and doing that which is well-pleasing in thy sight in respect to the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, our Father, we ask you to use the word to glorify thyself through it in our lives for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Today is Father's Day. And we want to challenge each father who is present with us with the instructions given in the Word of God to fathers and forefathers. God has established the home. Now the home has many, many enemies today. And yet often the very enemies of the home are the very ones who should be used under God to establish it. And I'm speaking particularly of fathers. Now on Mother's Day, just about a month ago, we talked about the mother of Zebedee's children. James and John and their mother, they stood by the cross of Jesus, we read from the 19th of John. And we talked about one of those women who stood there with Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. One of them was Salome, who was the mother of Zebedee's children. But today, we invite all the mothers in the audience to listen to the instruction from God's Word for the fathers. Just as the fathers listen to the instruction in God's Word to the mothers. And in so doing, we get instruction for ourselves as a people of God. Now, the instruction to the fathers is very emphatic in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It is both negative and positive. It is negative first. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's negative. Here's something don't do. And it is from the Word of God. On the other hand, you have the positive side. It says, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This is positive. And it is this truth that is emphasized in many other portions in the Word of God. We can give examples from the Word of God of men who fail. Good men who fail. And I'm thinking of David. David failed in this very area. And we can see it in the lives of his son Amnon, his son Adonijah, and especially in his son Absalom, who became a rebel. My, when you see the broken heart of David when Absalom is slain, it touches our own hearts, but it could have been prevented. And if you study the passage and the whole that relates to Absalom, you get the whole story. So the Word of God is very clear when it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And it's especially as emphatic when it comes to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. David was a busy man. He was almost too busy to give instruction to his sons as he should have done. Now, my wife and I had a great privilege this week. 33 years ago, we traveled one hot Saturday morning to Palisades Park, New Jersey, which is just outside of New York City. You can see the New York City skyline as you go north on the New Jersey Turnpike. And we were there on a hot day in a chapel with no air conditioning, and then to an outside reception where it was just as hot, if not hotter. But nevertheless, we know the son of the couple that was married that day. We have met David Kwiatkowski when he ministered the word here. Well, this week, the parents celebrated their 33rd wedding anniversary. And they came to visit us, and we had part in that celebration, along with their son David in Winston-Salem in his home. And it was a great time of fellowship, a great time of remembrance. But Leo, David's father, surprised me. He was a father of five children. He surprised me one day when he came to my home, and he says, now, we have five children. God has really blessed us. And we're going to make a will. We're in the process of making a will. And in the will, if anything were to happen to Verna and myself, who would take care of the children? And he said, I do not want my children to become wards of the state if anything were to happen to us. And he said, I'd like to put your name in the will that you would take my five children and rear them in case something happened to us. That's an honor. He said, I watched your home. And I know that you teach the Word of God in your home. Fathers, do you know someone who would say that in your home? Now, I talked about myself. Let me talk about someone else who comes here. Had a painter in my home one day, and I was talking to him about the things of God. And he started to cry. And he said, I know one family that goes to your church. He said, I was working in their home, and they were having breakfast together. And he said, that man opened the scriptures, and when he was finished praying, he said, that man prays. He said, that family worships. And he said, I was there. And he stood there and he wept in my presence with thankfulness to God for a man in a home who is a father who fulfills the word of God. And I'd like to think that we have a lot of fathers here who do that. And I hope that if you don't do it at the breakfast table, that you do it at another time. You must have time with the children in the Word of God. It is important. Now we want to look at a man this morning into whose life God placed a son. God had the whole world to look at. And God chose to place his son in the hands of this man that we read about in Matthew chapter 2. What was the head of that home like where God placed his son who was going to live his formative years in that home? What kind of a man was Joseph? And especially this morning we want to look at what kind of a father was he? And when I look at this, I have to ask and apply the scripture to myself. And to the fathers that are here. Would someone that you know want to place their children in your home to be reared the way you're rearing your children? And this is important. This is far more important than it appears on the surface. What kind of a man was Joseph? Well, let me tell you a few things about him. Number one, he was a man who thought before he acted. And that is most important. He was a man who thought before he acted. For in verse 20 of chapter 1, this is what I read about him. And we read, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying. So now he was thinking of a particular situation. Here's a man who was engaged to a lady. An engagement, in the Jewish sense of the term, it took a writing of divorcement. She was already recognized as his wife, and he was recognized as her husband. He is called this in the scriptures. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for their word in those days was their bond. When they said something, they meant it. And to break an engagement, it called for a writing of divorcement. To break an engagement under Jewish law. And therefore, when Joseph was thinking to put her away privately, it meant he was going to divorce her in a private way and not make her a public example. For that's what the words putting away means in the text. Now, he thought on these things. He meditated upon them. In other words, he was a person who did some thinking. And he was thinking in the Word of God. That was the basis of it. Do you meditate in the Word of God, fathers? Do you think of the instructions that God has given you as a parent in a home? Let me ask you a question. Who disciplines your children? Do you? Or do you expect mother to do it all? I get irritated when I'm around fathers who don't discipline their children, who just smile. When the children need to be disciplined, and when they I don't believe in just mauling children, by the way. I think there are multitudes of ways to discipline children. But it irritates me when I see mother have to do it all. And father doesn't do any. Oh, may God enable us to meditate on the scriptures that it has for fathers. When you go through the book of Proverbs, all the instructions that the father gives the children. You see, throughout the book of Proverbs, Joseph was a man who thought before he acted. Now, before this ever happened, he had done some real thinking before this. I'll tell you why. The scripture speaks of him in verse 19 as a just man. A just man in scripture is a righteous man. A righteous man in scripture is a saved man. A saved man in scripture is a man who has been justified by God. And how is a man justified by God? He is justified by God on the principle of faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot be justified by faith without thinking upon your own sinful condition, upon that which God has provided in Christ, and making a definite decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. To as many as receive him, to them he gives the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when God looked for a home where he placed his son, he looked for a man who thought before he acted, a man who was just, who was righteous before God. Here's a man who had done some thinking long before this problem ever arose concerning Mary and himself. Now, he's a man who thought before he acted. What were the basics of Joseph's actions? They were love. Here we see genuine love. I had a person in my home this week, and she said to me, my husband said he's having a real problem. He's in love with her and he's in love with another woman. I said, that's a lie. I said, he's not in love with either one. He's in love with himself. He's infatuated with two women, but in reality, he's in love with himself. All he thinks about is himself. This is just the opposite of what genuine love is. Genuine love wants the best for the other person. The basis of Joseph's action in verse 19, he was not willing to make her a public example. In other words, when you read that, his attitude was not, what will this do to me? But his attitude was, what will this do to her? That's genuine love, fathers. And when you don't discipline your children, you're not showing your children love. You really don't. You need to show the children where the fences are, for the children will then know that you genuinely love them. Joseph thought before he acted. His attitude was, how will this affect her? And what will this do to her? For it took a writing of divorcement to break a Jewish engagement. My God looked down from heaven, he must have thought. Here's a man who thinks on these things. What a home for my son. What a home. And you see, since we expect God to save our children, I must form an environment where my children will hear the word of God and where they will be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But there's a second thing about this man, Joseph, is this. He was a man who was sensitive to divine guidance. The word of God meant something to him. You see, God gave Joseph a word of testimony concerning his son. First of all, this is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. That's what it's told. A virgin shall conceive. You don't need to worry about Mary. She's pure and holy. She's a virgin. This is a fulfillment of the word of God. And Joseph becomes sensitive to it. He's sensitive to the revelation of the word of God. Furthermore, God says, in this verse 23, he says, this is none other than Emmanuel of Isaiah chapter 7. This is God with us. For that's what one of the names of our Lord. Emmanuel. It is God with us. And then he said, now I want you to name the child when he's born, Jesus. Verse 21. For a reason. This whole purpose is the redemptive program of God. He shall save his people from their sins. Here's a man who is sensitive to divine guidance. He didn't then do his own thing. He did that which was ordered of God. Now that which is ordered of God becomes a problem sometimes. It isn't always easy. So that brings us to the third thing concerning Joseph. He was a man whose life was marked by obedience to the word of God. You see, Matthew chapter 1 verse 24 says, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He took Mary as his wife. Now, his attitude toward the child that was born was ordered by God before he ever married Mary. Now, Matthew chapter 2 we read. After the child was born, you know, the anticipation of the birth of a child is a wonderful thing. But after they're born, that's when difficulties can arise. And with the birth of the Lord Jesus, there were real difficulties. For you see, King Herod was going to do some killing in the land of Bethlehem. And that's where our Lord was. You see, this child's existence in the home made for some unexpected move. How would you like to move to another country? God says, now I want you to take the young child to Egypt. These things aren't easy. These things are difficult. When we have to make choices like this, suppose God calls to be a missionary. And it's necessary to go to Timbuktu or to somewhere else in order to proclaim the word of God. Are we living as obedient to God? Obedience to God. And here we see Joseph, in accordance with the revealed will of God, doing the mind of God. His moves were made at the bidding of God. And when I think of that move, they were very poor. But you see, God always provides for his people. When God expects us to do something, he'll provide for it to be done. And he sent the wise men before he ever asked Joseph to move to Egypt. And the wise men presented to the Lord in worship what would be necessary for them to do the will of God. They presented gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I'm convinced that the gold from the wise men provided the means for them to go to Egypt, to live in Egypt, and to return to Nazareth. God is faithful. And this is something that irritates me in our day. It is a lack of faith on the part of those who claim to be servants of God. A lack of faith. We're going to have to go off the air if we don't get your donation this week. It would be better if it did. God is not playing games with men. God, who asks to do something, will provide the means to do it. He does it before they call, the scripture says, I will answer. Before they call. The answer comes. Now we often have to wait, but God had that whole business and the whole process in motion long before we ever call upon him in prayer. And what a privilege to pray and to intercede on behalf of others. Now, one more thing. Luke chapter 2, verse 33 tells us this about Mary and Joseph. They marveled at the things that were spoken of him. This child that God entrusted to their home. And in Matthew chapter 1, you don't have Mary other than her name mentioned. You have God dealing directly with Joseph. He's the head of the house. In chapter 2, we have God dealing directly with Joseph. He's a responsible man in the house. And therefore, when you get to Luke chapter 2, we have both Mary and Joseph marveling at the things which were spoken of him. Now, as a father, we must ask ourselves the question this morning, what kind of a home am I providing for my children? Am I the head of my home? I don't mean that you're the boss. There's a big difference between being the boss and being the head. The head is a thinker and a leader. A boss can do a lot of things, but he may not be a leader. Am I a genuine leader in my home? Has God blessed me with children? Well, if you're a father, he sure has. He has blessed you with children. Am I provoking them to wrath? Or am I, on the other hand, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Finally, one more question. Do other people look at your home as a Christian home? What do your neighbors think about you? Do they look at your home as a place where Jesus Christ is honored and glorified? You know, on this Father's Day, here are questions we have to face. And what a blessing to have God graciously grant children, put them under our care, and give us the privilege of rearing them for Him. You remember what He said about the daughters of Sodom in Ezekiel chapter 15? And really, when our Lord is speaking there in Ezekiel 16 of the daughters of Sodom, they had caused their children to pass through the fire. They gave them to the fires of Moloch, but God says the children were mine. That's what you did to them, but their children are mine. When we realize that to be a father, I have to have children. To be a father, I'm responsible for these children. Now, they don't belong to me, they belong to God. He's the giver of life. And He says to me, I put them in your home. I want you, don't provoke them to wrath, but I want you to bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And what a blessing it is for a home to be able to sing, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. And what a privilege for an assembly of God's people to be able to sing this way. For as the home goes, so goes the church to a large extent. And as the church goes, for the church is a pillar and ground of truth in the world today, so goes a nation. And you see, it all goes back to that little unit called the family. And in the family, God has given fathers a definite responsibility. May God enable us, as fathers, to be responsible in our homes for His name's sake. Let's sing together number 135 in closing. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. And then that last stanza of that hymn, I think we can sing all four stanzas. the short hymn, but I like that last stanza. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. When the children and the grandchildren come home, when they leave, my. There's a bit of pain there, but especially if there's a distance involved. But my, the hope that God has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. A man this week said to me when I was in his home, I'm a poor Christian, but God has given me a genuine hope in the Lord. Oh, may the Lord enable us to glorify himself. Now let's stand together, sing number 135. Our Father, we thank you for all the promises of your word that you have reserved for families, and the promises and the blessed hope that is for the families of the children of God. We ask you to take the word this morning and bless it to every heart, and we commend each one to thee, and especially the Father, and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified, alone through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.